Hi, my name is Kimberly. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from self-righteousness. As a young girl, I always believed I was defective. I was constantly comparing myself and being compared to other children. Growing up, I found my identity in what others thought of me: quiet, awkward, and shy. I saw all of those qualities as bad things, and I was constantly striving to be someone else because I didn't believe I brought any value to society with the way God designed me. Before trusting in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I trusted in a life of performance to fulfill my desire to be better than everyone else. I wanted people to worship me. I was living a life to add activities and things that would make me look successful and attractive in the eyes of the world. Piano recitals, music concerts, theater, and pageants consumed my life. I was living this life solely to collect trophies, crowns, and praises in the media. I sought to excel in every area of my life and appear as though I had everything together. Meanwhile, I was clinically depressed. By age 12, I was turning to drugs and relationships to cope with my failed perfectionism. Life at home was broken. There was very little discussion about God or spiritual matters. Chaos, alcohol, conflict avoidance, and physical abuse filled my home. I believed that God was non-existent and that faith and spirituality were only for the weak. Heaven and hell, Jesus and Satan, were fictional to me, though I always had a longing to know if there was more to life than what I perceived. My sophomore year of high school, I was given a booklet which explained the gospel, that Jesus came to earth to save me. He paid the price for my sin through his death and resurrection on the cross, and in accepting his free gift of grace, I could be free. I was offended that anyone would ever think I needed saving. As far as I knew, I thought my outward appearance showed that I was doing just fine. Soon after, at age 15, I was admitted into rehab for my self-destructive patterns. My addiction of turning to pills to cope with emotional pain and an attempt to end my life resulted in the police showing up at my home and giving me the option to go to rehab. Out of my embarrassment of getting caught, I agreed to go to rehab to hide from people who knew me. Even in my time there, I saw everyone else's brokenness, but not mine. After I was released, God sovereignly placed the little booklet with the gospel in front of me again. This time, I prayed the prayer I thought I was supposed to pray to become a Christian. I thought becoming a Christian would eliminate the struggles I was having and, in turn, elevate my reputation and how others perceived me. I didn't truly believe that Jesus was real and there was a God who desired a relationship with me. I only agreed with the moral values and thought calling myself a Christian and attending church would make me look like a better person. Eventually, I went to college to study theater. I was still finding my identity in how well or how poorly I performed. I was drinking, doing drugs, and living a promiscuous lifestyle. But God was kind to use the theater industry to open my eyes to my own brokenness and pursuit of worldly things. As I was stage managing a play, God used the characters to reflect back to me my self-sufficiency, pride, and outright rejection of him. God's word finally pierced my heart. All this time, I believed my works alone were sufficient to get me into heaven. But Titus 3, 4 through 7 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God showed me it is not by my might, but his." A year later, I moved to Dallas to finish college and began attending Watermark. I am so grateful for the years of spiritual growth and the people that the Lord placed in my life to disciple me and point me to Christ. I was quickly connected to others through attending the porch, serving on the Believe team, taking classes to strengthen my faith, leading a singles community group, as well as being surrounded by professors who love the Lord on my college campus. My community group co-leader was a godly example in my life of what it looks like to love God and love others. Soon, I found myself engaged to be married. A few days before the wedding, my now husband told me he wanted to postpone our wedding. We were overwhelmed emotionally and spiritually, and he was trying to discern if it was wise to get married at that time. I was heartbroken, but mostly concerned about my reputation. What would others think of me if we didn't get married? After processing with wise counsel, we decided to continue with our planned wedding date, and all the while I wrestled with the thoughts that I was not good enough for God's good gifts, let alone marriage. In my anger at the Lord, I acted out in rage in our marriage, looking to my husband to fill a gap that only the Lord could. As I saw how my lack of trust in the Lord and my inability to forgive my husband was impacting my marriage, I came to Regen. Steps 1-3 were foundational for me in my recovery. Before Christ, I had chosen to reject God by claiming that I'm good enough in my own strength. Life felt more comfortable avoiding the responsibility of my sin. Salvation is a free gift that I can never attain by my own works. God gives good things because he is good, not because I earned it. In step 2, believe, the Lord was reconciling what I knew in my mind to be true with the lies my heart believed. I looked forward to steps 4-6, especially inventory. The years of unconfessed sin was weighty in my life. Writing down all my sin and confessing it showed me how good, perfect, and loving God is. In confessing my sin, I was met with grace and love. God used the community of people I confessed to reflect 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Step 6 challenged me to be dependent on God and prayerful, relying on his strength to turn from my sin. In my flesh, I wanted behavior modification, but I was challenged to seek the Lord to change my heart and not solely my behavior. In steps 7-9, I was reminded of my new identity in Christ as I follow him, that God through Paul in Ephesians 1 says that I am chosen, holy, blameless, redeemed, and forgiven according to his abundant grace. Step 8 was the first time I truly sought God's word and what it has to say about forgiving others. I learned to entrust my hurts and desire for justice to the Lord instead of coveting the desire to carry out justice for myself by holding grudges or treating others the way that they treated me. Step 9 was a leap of faith for me. Seeking peace with others was exactly what I did not want to do. I struggled with admitting my weakness and brokenness to others. But as Apostle Paul proclaims in 2 Corinthians 12, Christ's power is made perfect in my weakness. In this step, the Lord reminded me to just be faithful and trust him with the outcome. In steps 10-12, I was encouraged to keep running the race, abiding with the Lord, seeking him through his word and in prayer. The Lord is not finished with me yet. He is continually at work in my life and in my heart. I still struggle with the desire to be perfect, to seek approval from others, and to have a good reputation as defined by the world. But God, in his kindness, provides his word, community, and prayer to guide my thoughts and desires back to his desires. God has shown me my need to rely on him and pray daily that no sin would be a master over me, and that I would yield to the Holy Spirit for his glory and not mine. If I could say one thing tonight, it would be this. Luke 9:23-24. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It is worth dying to self for the one who gave up his life for you." My name is Kimberly. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from self-righteousness. To God be the glory.